check this. The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love. Book now to enjoy the Sarah's experience.
Welcome one and all to the DL Debate, the Donegal GA show. If you're listening on the radio, you're welcome, or back on podcast. Now, this is a Donegal GA show, and we want to cover all aspects of GA in the county. And this week, we have championship action back in the ladies' game and in hurling. And we'll be joined later by Mo O'Donnell and Paula Campbell to review all the action. But first up, we have Ryan Ferry, chief sports reporter for the Donegal News. Or is it Frank Craig? Or who's the boss there anyway, Ryan?
Oh, no, I'd have to say Frank takes his instructions from me there, Brendan.
Good man, Ryan. Ryan, always great to talk to you. Last week, of course, we reviewed the senior championship, and as I was saying on the show, we want to cover all the action in the county. We have the intermediate and the junior championship coming up as well, and we're going to do a preview. But first, Ryan, just a quick talk about GA and senior level and the regional leagues that happened there yesterday. Great to get some action back. Ryan, how did you see things?
Yeah, I took in three games myself, Brendan, and it was good for the soul to see a bit of football again. And you know, the weather was reasonably good. I suppose it was a little bit different from how games were before we left. You know, the clubhouses were all, you know, cordoned off, and players had to get changed in their cars, and there had to be the water break when water bottles were thrown on to the. Or they had to go and get their own water bottle, should I say. So it was all a bit different, but you know, it was good. Like, and you know, some of the games I saw now were excellent games. You know, we could see that a lot of players have been maintaining their fitness levels over the 4 month break, and you know, teams were pretty sharp. I suppose what was noticeable for me was that a number of teams were without some of their best players. Is that, you know, because of injuries picked up over the last couple of weeks with hard training, or is it a case where teams are just, you know, looking at this period and thinking, well, you know, we need to be ready for the championship, so anybody carrying tweaks or knocks, we're just told to rest it up for 2 weeks' time. So, you know, I think looking at it, you know, I suppose the big hitters, you know, the top four, Niamh Connell, weren't playing because their game was called off because of a bereavement, but St Eunan's were very impressive winners over Convoy. Guidoor had a little trouble against Clohanealy, and I suppose we were all waiting to see how Killybegs would fare out against Kilcar, and Kilcar just too much for them down in Towney. So probably, you know, not much has changed on that front. You know, I was down at the bridge on Friday night having a look at St Michael's against Terriman, and you know, Terriman was a very youthful team. I think it was seven minors from last year were in the starting team. And you know, when they were going well, they played with great pace and of mobility all around the pitch, but probably lacking that little bit of experience. And the craft and cuteness of Colin McFadden and at full forward was just superb. He was at the heart of everything St Michael's did. Really, really impressive. I took in then Glenn Swilly and Milford on Saturday evening. And, you know, Michael Murphy was playing full forward for a new-look Glenn Swilly team. And I would say Pádraig Bonner in his first game was probably very happy with how it did. He blooded a lot of youngsters, and they really rose to the occasion, probably in particular Keelan Dunleavy, who scored 3 points from right half forward. Milford, now that was a good game. It was a good game of attacking football. I think it finished 1-13 to 3-12 in Glenn Swilly's favour, you know, and both teams, you know, I'm sure will think it was a pretty useful workout. I also had a look at Letterkenny Gaels and Nivora in Division 2 on Saturday afternoon, and Gaels were short a couple of their main men, but still posted 18 points. And another good game, another game that kind of swayed over and back. It looked like Letterkenny Gaels were going to win comfortably, and then Nivora struck for two goals in quick succession and set up kind of a bit of an intriguing final, but a finale, should I say. But, you know, Letterkenny Gaels came out on top of that. So it was just good to be back on the sideline, Brendan.
And tell me, Ryan, what was the vibe around games there, you know, with the 200 limit? Was there people, like, was there people coming that were turned away, did you see? Or was there people trying to get vantage points all outside the ground of that, or how was it?
Well, I suppose genuinely, I don't know. I suppose I haven't heard of any stories of people being turned away. Now, I think looking at the games, I think there was noticeably less people at them. Now, whether there was over 200 or not, I wasn't counting them, Brendan, to tell you the truth. So I don't know if there was or not. I think, to be fair, to most people, they were trying to do things the right way. The clubs that I visited were all trying to adhere to the guidelines the best they could. And, you know, the officials were wearing masks and everything like that, you know. So I would say potentially maybe some people were possibly wary of the 200 and maybe didn't want perhaps what could be perceived as embarrassment to be turned away. So maybe if people were in doubt, maybe they didn't attend, Bren. But, you know, I can't say I heard of any stories now of people being turned away, to be honest.
Yeah. And you mentioned the big teams there. Obviously, there was a lot of talk about Killie Beggs. It's funny how we read into anything small we can for a team. You know, the fact that they went down and beat Gador in the challenge, everyone was like, there's something happening there. But certainly, although 399 doesn't sound the worst scoreline, of course, it's double scores that they lost to Kilkear. And, you know, of the bigger teams, I suppose, you say Niamh Connell didn't play Unions and Gador had it fairly handy in their outings. And probably, in some ways, Ryan, maybe that's the type of game you're saying, because certainly injuries with this short period of time and getting players up to that championship fitness is going to be a big worry. So I'd say some of the bigger teams are happy enough to play a game where they're maybe not pushed all the way.
Yeah, I would definitely see it as that. Like, you know, because, you know, an injury now, even a small injury, a little tweak, you know, it could take you out for the first one or two games here now, and you don't want that, because, you know, like, as much as we all enjoyed the regional aspect to it and the local derbies, it's all about championship, Brendan. Like, and you need to be spot on for those days. I suppose Killie Beggs will probably be a bit disappointed, but, you know, maybe they're better suited to play in a team like Guido, whereas, you know, perhaps with Kilcar and their running power with the McHughes and the McLeans and that, like, maybe they just had a little bit too much, whereas, you know, they might look at it and say, well, listen, lads, we still have Guido to play in the championship, and maybe we're a better fit for them. So I'm sure John Cullinan won't be panicking down in Killie Beggs just yet.
Yeah, Ryan, and just a bit of news there. Niamh Colm Killer in the news a few times over the last number of weeks for a few reasons, but they played a friendly with Glack, and there was a COVID breakdown and a breakout there, and they decided to cancel their game for fear of an infection, but the game then was ruled that it should have went ahead, and it's been awarded to Fana. What's your read on that situation?
Yeah, I think it's coming from this breakout in Limavady, and from what I gather, that Glack is fairly close to Limavady, and I think there was 10 clubs in Derry shut down, you know, and Glack were one of them. Niamh Colm Killer played Glack in a challenge game the week before, and I suppose maybe as a precaution, you know, they then decided that they wouldn't be fielding. I suppose from Donegal GAA perspective, I'd say I don't think that Niamh Colm Killer had any suspected cases, and I'm not aware that Glack had any suspected cases either. So maybe from the guidance they were getting, maybe the game could have went ahead. But I think Niamh Colm Killer decided not to travel, maybe in the interests of the health and safety of their players and their families as well. You know, you're probably going to get a bit of that, Brendan, you know, that where, you know, teams are not going to take any chances, you know. So, like, I'm sure Fannin would probably have liked the game, but I suppose it's Niamh Colm Killer's decision at the end of the day.
Yeah, certainly. And the other story would be, of course, the Michael Lynch, which is a bit of a saga that's been, you know, undercurrent there, Ryan, in many ways, and people not sure what's happening. You know, he obviously put in a transfer, and Niamh Colm Killer have objected to it. And I'm just wondering, it's in that grey area now, where is it going to go through or is it not? But he's went ahead and played a couple of games for Gidor, which, if it doesn't go through now, there could be serious repercussions.
Yeah, there could be repercussions if the I's weren't dotted and the T's weren't crossed, I suppose. You know, Guidor, you know, you would think this is a Donegal player, of course, he's in the senior panel, you know, he's the sub goalkeeper for Donegal at present. So you would imagine that, you know, there would be a bit of scrutiny on this transfer, you know, but I suppose, you know, we don't know either. Like, you know, all we can really do is is dealing the facts of it, and the facts that we know, Brendan, is that he definitely played on Friday night for Gweedore, and we also has been confirmed to me by the Meath Colmkill club that they have objected and they are waiting on a hearing on the situation. So I suppose we'll have to wait and see what comes of that, Brendan.
Yeah, it's one of them situations, I suppose, Brendan. There's always it's in terms of the right outcome, it's hard to know what's going to come out of it, but certainly, you know, should the appeals committee rule against it, it'll probably put a lot of, obviously there'll be a sanctions and against, you know, your secretary and chairman and that, so we'll see how that plays out. Ryan, Mr. Michael Lynch there, transferring to Gweedore. Tell me, Ryan, just the up and coming junior and intermediate championships, where we're going to get all back on track, and hopefully these small breakouts, I suppose, Ryan, there's a wee scare every time we think, I'm looking forward to this championship or I'm looking forward to that, something pops up at the minute. So fingers crossed now we can get the championship up and running, and the junior championship in particular. Ryan, I was just thinking about the seniors there, the way they've stepped up, and obviously Kilcare, Ulster final, very unlucky. Gweedore went and won it, then Leave Connell in the Ulster final. But in many ways, the junior taking up the baton first with Niamh Colmkill, and, you know, with Red Hughes as well, winning Ulsters and going to semi-finals. And that's been a championship now, a springboard for teams to go up. Both played then in intermediate finals after that. And I suppose that's the key, Ryan, while you're winning championships, it's all about the build-up. You know, there's no point in winning a championship and thinking, we're happy here, you're going to step up grade, and you got to have things in place to do that.
Yeah, that is it. I suppose with this year, there is not going to be an Ulster Junior Championship. And, you know, when I'm sure there's a couple of clubs in Donegal that would think, you know, if they had a won that competition, that they would have given the province a good crack, you know. But I suppose when you look at it, the big prize when you're in the junior football, as much as we talk about the Ulster and the All-Ireland competitions, and while they're great competitions that can really galvanise the community, the big prize is climbing up the ranks and moving up to intermediate football. And, you know, Bunclan are up there, up in intermediate this year, and I'm sure they'll be thinking they'll do well. And, you know, for those big hitters in the junior championship, you're looking at Convoy and Downing's, you know, Letterkenny Gales are in there, you know, Mavone, teams like that. They'll just be thinking about getting up the ranks, you know. I think, you know, they'll not be worried about the Ulster Championship not being in place. They'll just be thinking about moving up. And it's going to be a very, very competitive competition. It usually is. You know, I know Red Hughes won a junior championship final quite comfortably against Oris a couple of years ago, but that's not really the way it usually plays out. So I would expect it to be a fairly ferocious competition this season.
Yeah, certainly. Ryan, what I suppose about the Ulster thing was, I think it's really put the highlight on Donegal club football, but I was just thinking it's at all levels, really. And, you know, I think the runs through Ulster, when teams, obviously not this year, but the runs through Ulster, I think really highlight the teams in terms of the whole county getting behind them. And it's such a different thing when you go on and you're representing Donegal, and so many of our teams have done so well at that. And that's why I think there's such a highlight now that's come on the Donegal Championship the last few years against all the grades. And the intermediate then, Ryan, how do you see teams faring out in that?
Yeah, I suppose the intermediate out of all the draws, Brendan, you know, they've been split into two groups of six teams, and, you know, I think it's fair to say that one of the groups looks, you know, considerably tougher than the other, because the three teams that I would say most people would class as favourites would be, for the intermediate championship, would be Ayrshire, Clonmacnoise and Meath Columba, and they're all in the one group, along with Neve Breach, who defeated Four Masters very impressively at the weekend. You've got Fannett Gales, and you've got Burt in that six as well. So, you know, like you have a lot of the big teams in that. And the other section, which includes I think it's Buncrana are in that, Mallon are in that, Red Hughes are in that, Neve Colmkill, Neve Olton and Neve Urra are in that. That appears to be a much closer group. And, you know, I think looking at it, you would say any team in that would think, you know, on any given day, if they perform well, that they could beat any of the other five teams in that group. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic how it plays out. You know, every team will play four games, and then it goes on to just the one single league table. and the top eight will progress to the quarterfinals. And there's nothing to say necessarily that it'll be an even split, four from one group and four from the other group. You know, it could be 5-3, you know, if there's a lot of teams that are, you know, a lot of teams taking points off each other in one of the groups. So that is going to be an interesting way to see how that plays out. You know, you're looking at it, you look at Eirua, had a very impressive victory over their rival Bundoran on Friday, and I know Bundoran were short Jamie Brennan and a couple of their big names, but I'm sure they'll take a lot of confidence from it. On the other hand, you know, Clonmacnoise were well beaten by Gweedore, but then Clonmacnoise were short some of their main men, including Jason McKee, I believe. So maybe they're not too worried about it. So, you know, Neve Columba played out a good draw with our draw. So, you know, there's a lot of teams. Those teams, I suppose, there'll be a lot of talk about them. For the likes of Fannad, you know, I'm sure they would have probably preferred maybe an easier group. Maybe, you know, like they had a bit of a struggle last year. I know they've no real young players breaking through this year, and there's a little bit of uncertainty about whether Sammy Nanny Friel is going to play for them. You know, and he would have been a big score getter in previous years. So, you know, are they going to struggle in that section? You know, possibly, but they, you know, the proud people down in Fannad, they can, they'll be thinking if they get it right, that they can put in a good showing. Burt, you know, Burt have struggled maybe over the last 2 years, but I see Ronan McLaughlin, who led them to intermediate glory in 2016, is back involved this season. So can he get them going again? So that group is very interesting. Neve Breida, of course, too, as I mentioned. You know, Dougie Corbis back in there. You know, they were unlucky not to make the intermediate final last season. You know, and people probably not as much talk about them as there is about other teams, but I'm sure they're thinking, you know, with the likes of Dara Brogan, Ryan Brogan, Becky McCaffrey, that you know, on their day, they're fit to take any team as well.
Yeah, the master tactician, Ronan McLaughlin, all right. Not be quiet when Ronan's about. He can deliver a team talk, I'll tell you. I'm just thinking from my own time, Ryan, you know, just about teams building on that. You know, from my time, St. Michael's came up through, like, intermediate ranks. You know, Glen Swilly, Terman, all held their own. You know, Glen Swilly obviously winning championship. St. Michael's coming very close. Terman getting into a county final. But along that, Ryan, they produce county players. And that's, you know, let's look at two of them clubs. Can you imagine one in All-Ireland 2012 without McFadden and Murphy for a start, you know? Better give Big Neil a mention as well when we're at it. But, you know, the building of these clubs, you know, it takes a massive amount of work. Right? In the last few years, like Bundoran won it 2015, intermediate, you know, Milford 17, Glenfinn 18. All teams that have the pedigree to go to the next level. But it's a massive amount of work, Ryan. But certainly the setups for the club are there to go to the next level, to really put a push and try and get in and make a wave in the senior championship.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, and even if you look at you know, the development squads, Brendan, you know, and I think, you know, the minors panel this year, you know, there was a huge spread from all over the county where, you know, like, we were looking at old archives over the break there, you know, and, you know, looking at old minor teams and stuff, and, you know, the bulk of it was coming from four or five clubs down south Donegal. That's not the case anymore. You know, there's a vast, vast spread from all the clubs making up the minor teams, and you know, they're leading, and those young fellas are playing for the minors, and then they're going back to their club teams and they're pushing standards there, and then they're breaking into their senior team and they're helping to push that on as well. You know, so you're seeing that, I suppose, for clubs to make the breakthrough. You know, they do need good underage players coming through every year. You know, and that can be difficult, especially for small rural clubs. You know, that they might have two or three this year coming through, and maybe they won't have that standard of quality player for another two or three seasons after that. So it's hard maybe to keep building. I suppose the other big thing is keeping everybody at home when you do have them here. You know, because, you know, the world is a big place, and you know, young fellas will always want to go and travel. I suppose this season maybe you won't have as much of that as you would have in other seasons. And as somebody was pointing out to me, the likes of Uris in the junior championship would usually lose a few players to Donegal Boston during the summer because there's a big connection there. That's probably not going to happen this year, you know, because of the COVID situation. So perhaps they will be stronger as a result of that. But as you said, you know, there's a lot of teams there would love to do a St. Michael's, a Glen Swilly, and keep building it up. But it's difficult. It's difficult to make that next step. It's difficult to get into the senior championship alone, and then make that step to being, you know, an established senior side that are regularly making the quarterfinals, and then it's another step again to be in contention for the Dr. Maguire.
Ryan, listen, as usual, great points, great talking to you, and I'll be in touch. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Yep.
Now, I have a woman known as Maureen O'Donnell, or more affectionately known as Mo the Decent, on the line. How are you, Mo?
Not so bad, Brendan. How are you doing?
Very good. Great always to talk to you, Mo. County and club star, of course, from the famous, we have to keep talking about this, Mo, from the famous 2014 All-Ireland, won something, I suppose, one of the greatest sporting achievements ever in Donegal sport. And I suppose, Mo, do you ever get tired of talking about it?
No, to be honest, you know, I suppose, as you said, it's very historic for us and for us in the club, you know, and I suppose even in the county, you know, being the first club, maybe even in women's and men's, to take back the All-Ireland title, the senior All-Ireland title to Donegal. So, I mean, it's something that everybody talks about, as you say, and I suppose it's put Termon on the map for us, very much so.
Listen, Mo, it was an absolutely magical time, and you were play. How many years did you play with Donegal?
I was about 12-13 years done with Donegal, so, and then maybe more, up and more, maybe 18 years. I was kind of back the last day. It's hard to keep a track of the whole lot of it, and, to be honest with you.
That's some time. I think average in the men's is about 10. You nearly doubled up on it there.
I started playing, you see, when I was 13, and yeah. I think I remember being called up to the minor panel, and I was only 13, and I was 3 foot nothing, you know, and the jersey was nearly... I couldn't see the shorts of the jersey.
You were still tough.
Oh, God, well, they used to call me Wemo in those days, so I've grown a wee bit since that. But then I was calculating, and myself and Paddy were chatting yesterday at the match. He says, how many years are you playing for the club now? So 32 years for the club now, so... When you look back, it's like more than a career, really, to be honest.
More than a career. It's some service given, no fair play. Mo, you're doing a bit of coaching as well?
We have a bit of coaching with the minor girls now at the minute. Now, I had the minor girls about, when Geraldine and Rosie McCaffin, those were all on minor maybe 8 to 10 years ago now, and we won three back-to-back championships with the minors at that stage, and that was when the group of girls really came through, you know, and hit the senior team, and when we started to get into the swing of things at senior level then as well, you know, as you can imagine, with the likes of Rosh McCaffrey, all of McCaffrey, there was a good three of them McCaffreys coming through from minor, Derek Kelly, Gary McLaughlin, they were all coming through onto the senior panel, and that's sort of what boosted the senior panel at that stage then, you know, Brendan.
An Ulster final again last year, setting off on another epic journey that came so close.
Yeah, you know, geez, we just got up the hurdle, you know, and I suppose it comes down to, I probably could put it down to maybe a lack of experience on the day and from a few of the younger members maybe, and the fact that we just didn't gel, you know, because it is a big stage when you go out in an Ulster final and, you know, you can talk the talk about it, but when you go out in the field and there's a huge support in the grounds and things can overwhelm a lot of girls, and like for years and years, like even myself growing up at a younger age, the older girls and maybe my dad used to talk to me about experience and I just ran off me. I thought to myself, what is this experience about? What are you talking about? As a younger player, you don't think nothing of it, but the more game time you have, the more mistakes you make, the more learning you do, and that's what experience it is. And when you go out then on bigger fields and bigger stages, you don't see the crowd. They don't interfere with your game. The nerves don't interfere with you as much once you get over the first hurdle. So for some of our girls, it was the first time in an Ulster final. Like, so maybe it came down to an element of nerves on the day. Like, and Evelyn McGinley was in last year as well, and she had a fantastic season the whole year up. Like, and perhaps just didn't have that little bit of bite then on the day, you know, along with a number of players as well, you know, a number of her own experienced players. And that's just what happens on a final day. And you talked about Dunamoyne, they're just an absolutely fantastic team. And when you look at their roll of honours, you know, we won an All-Ireland once, but that doesn't make it as a great team. Like, any team that can go back and win All-Irelands back-to-back and come back there every year, that makes them a fantastic team, you know.
Yeah, well put. Well, tell me, this year's championship looking in then, the five teams, obviously Buncrana making the step up, Glenfinn, Leave Connell, Termon, The sides that you'd be looking there to again, everybody obviously looking at Glenfinn and Termon in particular. Mo and Mavill yesterday, the, of course, the other side making up the group, they faced Termon in the first game. And I was looking at updates coming through from Chris McNulty, and I was just like, wow, yeah. It just wouldn't stop. And of course, who else could we be talking about but Geraldine again?
Yeah, of course, and like you talked about the five teams there, like I suppose Glenties are up from last year, and last year, in fact, Glenties folded at some stage throughout the competition, so, but they're back in again this year with the team, and you said Dunclana, they have come up now, so they'll be up for 2 years in the championship. I suppose looking at that, when you look at the junior and the intermediate championship in Donegal, you see there's so many more teams in the competition, making it a more effective competition, whereas there's only the five, and maybe the five up now this year, and then the three top teams, which you talked about, Glenfinn, Mavill and ourselves, obviously, and it seems to always come down to a battle between ourselves and Glenfinn, but we never ever rule out Mavill. And Mavill have been very unfortunate to lose a number of players in the last few years through other clubs throughout Anishone, you know, setting back up again, the likes of Cairn Dunham, Mallon and Orris and clubs like that. And so you had Mavill with a huge range of players, like the Higgertys, no doubt, the most noted there. And Deirdre Foley, she's gone back to her own club, and I think Cairn Dunham. And then they lost the two Dohertys, Trath and Anita. They lost Aoife McColgan, the Donegal keeper, this year. And that's just from other clubs setting back their own teams back up again, you know, Brendan. So Mavill were very unfortunate to lose a lot of those. Yesterday they played with Niamh Haggerty. Kira's actually away in Kerry at the minute, and Niamh McLaughlin, very effective for them. So, you know, I suppose when a team loses players like that, they're just not as competitive. But I mean, a very competitive game yesterday, and you probably could say that the scoreline didn't really reflect the game, the challenge that they put up to us on the day as well, you know. What do you say, talking about Buncrana and Glenties, I feel this year, you know, that whoever, the four teams will stay up and one team will get eliminated, and obviously two semi-finals. So I think it's going to come down to whoever wins the game between Buncrana and Glenties will be the team that stays up. You know, I feel anyway, that's the way it's going to go. We were very fortunate to get a good game out yesterday and get a good one under our belt first off, so that leaves us in a good position.
Yes, well, looking at the game yesterday, it was Termon 7-11, Mavill 3-8. The goal scenario in the ladies' game, there just seems to be that higher turnover of goal now. As you said yesterday, that looks like a small hammering, but really when goals go on there, it's so different. It's a bit like the result, you know, Kilkeara, Killybegs, it was 3-9-9. It's double scores, but you think, right, was that a tighter game than it was now? That looks like a bit of a hammering yesterday, but you're saying, obviously, with Geraldine in there hitting a remarkable 5-6, you've one player in the pitch with that type of ability, and that's probably what changes it between the two teams.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable what Geraldine can achieve on a day out. And, you know, you look at her performances over the year and you think, which day was a bad day for her? And there doesn't seem to be any bad days for her. And even a bad day, she's on a good day, if that makes sense, you know, in terms of her scoring ability. And she just seems like, you know, I suppose every other team going out to play, you know, every other manager is wondering, how are we going to handle Geraldine? This is probably going to be not only trying to look at the other team's system to try and account for that or to try and counteract that, they have to counteract for the fact that they have to try and mark Geraldine because she's doing all the scoring, as you say, 5-6 yesterday, and you're talking maybe two and three players on her. And it is in every match, there's two or three players on her. Like there's two standing side by side and one out in front of her, which leaves two other players for us free, or any other team playing, like, you know. For us, definitely two free players, then we can work with that as well. So it makes it very difficult, but we're trying to get her on the ball, obviously. But this year we've had that. Last year we had Bridget Gower in there as well. We have Roisin Yankee in there, and we have Kira McGarvey in there now. She's a new addition to us as well. And she's a fantastic new player to have in there, and she's working well herself. Bridget and Geraldine work very, very well together. So, and teams aren't accounting for that when they go out either, you know. So, listen, you talked about goals. Goals won matches in ladies football. There was probably a margin of about, 15 points or something there yesterday. But when you weigh the scores up, score for score, how many, maybe we got 20 scores, so it's 20 hits, and UAE, whatever, another team might have got 12. So it doesn't seem like as big a gap, but because the goals are worth the 3 points, you know, that enlarges the gap, and you know, you won by maybe a country score then and there. So, but yeah, that's what I said about yesterday. It didn't really reflect the challenge that we were given, you know, but it's just Geraldine's ability and to score goals. And then, like, Bridget scored 2-3 yesterday as well and had a fantastic game as well around Geraldine. So
Yeah, exactly. Listen, we all know it takes a team, but it does no harm when Geraldine's inside. I would like her in my team, I'll tell you.
Absolutely.
Well, do you know, I was going to say, Ryan Ferry was just saying there previously about Oris, they usually lose a few players to Boston and that in the summer, and there does seem to be a high amount of ladies from the ladies game that go travelling and through work or life experience, etc. But I'm sure a lot of teams now will have people back, and no more than yourselves. I know I've heard of Niamh Connell, the same, and Glenn Finn, people that are going to be about this year, so it should make for a very interesting championship in terms of people having what should be their best squads available.
Yeah, listen, you're 100% right there. The girls, you know, often take a chance and go away. No more though, so myself, I went away for 2 summers and I played in Chicago, you know, and we've Trace McCaffrey away now at the minute. She's in Australia. She's one of her best defenders. She's out playing a bit of GAA and working in Australia. We have, like, Petra McCaffrey's in England. She's working all the time. Laura Gallagher, we lost her, but she obviously signed for back to Glen Swilly as well, but she's in Australia as well. So girls do go away and come back, and you talked about players come back to Niamh Connell there. I think Aoife McDonald will be back in the panel for them this year, probably bring her sister back into it as well. So that'll be the added boost for Glenties as well, you know. So they're definitely playing. And like, talk about Glen Finn, Yvonne McMonagall, sure, she's a household name now. And Donegal, and she's an absolute fantastic player, and they missed out last year by not having Yvonne. She was away playing the Aussie Rules, picked up an injury, and she's back home this year. I think her husband is actually manager of the Glen Finn side this year. So I mean, that's players that you're adding back into the panel, and players of a high ability. You know, geez, Yvonne's a serious player and a serious asset to have back in the Glen Finn team, and one to definitely to watch for us. So that's going to make for a very interesting championship now, and we've Glen Finn in the last game. Now, they had a free yesterday, so which was probably a good thing for them, so come down and watch the match maybe, you know. I think our free weekend now is a couple of weekends. We play now Buncrana next, and then we play Glenties, and then we have Glen Finn at home, which works out very well for us as well, and the last game, Brendan, so it is going to be very, very interesting, you know.
Yeah, listen, you said it. What a player Yvonne McMonagall is, and brilliant to see her go back in Donegal. You know, what an experience you had out in Australia. And yeah, so certainly if I say in this championship, you would imagine. Mo, just from the two championships then, do you want to stick your neck out and give me two winners? you want to keep
senior,
your Termin hat
our
on.
Our senior championship, is it?
Yeah.
You know, well, it's always hard to call. Like, I don't know if you recall the game last year. Came down to the final, and then Balbuffet, and you know, like, for the whole game it was neck and neck, and then there was a little bit of a turnaround, but we only ended up winning by a couple of points then. So it's very, very hard to call. I thought Mavill might have been a bit stronger this year. We'll have to see what they offer Glen Finn now when they play them as well, and what way. I'm assuming, you know, anybody who tops the group will probably get the weaker opposition in the semi-final, so you know, it could be ourselves versus Mavill in the semi-final or Glen Finn in the semi-final. It depends on how the semi-final stages go too, Brendan, you know. But like, obviously I would want to back my own team in this, you know, and we're a strong outfit, like, and I feel like once we start going and we start playing, you know, the momentum gets up, and we're very hard to beat as well. But I'd never rule out Glen Finn. You know, there's something about a team's hunger that they're getting beat all the time, and you want to get over the line, and you know, every year they want to beat us, and that's the way it goes, and that's what makes it competitive, and you wouldn't be without that element either. So it's going to be very, very hard to call. It would probably come down to maybe a Glen Finn term final again, maybe, and very, very little between the sides.
Be interesting stuff, Mo.
It'll be very, very interesting stuff.
Mo,
yeah.
just from the intermediate section, have you a team you'd fancy to come up and win that championship?
Well, listen, I suppose going on last year, Brendan, you know, we played the Ulster final, and out before us was Neighbourra, a very young Neighbourra side. They were in the final round. They got a good beating on the day, maybe, but their first time up that stage, and they won the junior championship last year, and they were. So I'm going to be looking at them now this year, to be honest with you, and seeing how they can progress in the intermediate championship this year, because they were a very good side, I felt, last year. So wonder will they make the step up and how they'll do. You know, there are a couple of good teams in there. St Junans are in there now in intermediate, and Milford's in there. So Tudor's in there, and they're all sort of on the one side of the draw too. So listen, it's going to be very, very interesting, but I'll be watching maybe Neighbourra this year, Brendan, seeing how
very good, Mo, and thanks to all the great work at Termin. The spotlight is on Donegal ladies football and the great championship it is. And listen, Mo, always great to catch up and talk, and I'll see you soon. Yeah, great catching up with Mo O'Donnell and all insights into the ladies game. And right now I'm joined by a man that knows his way around hurling in this county, Paul Campbell, of course, of Setanta. He's won championships, he's won Ulsters, he's been there and done it all, and we're catching up with him today just for a bit of a review on the weekend's action. Paul, how are you?
Not so bad, Brent, not so bad. Hey, good to chat to you. Good to get a bit of coverage of the hurling there. We're always good at it. Like,
all the way. I probably shouldn't tell you, Paul, I played a wee bit underage for Bertie, so...
no harm in that, sir. Hey, Brent, if you're playing hurley, as long as you're playing hurley, sir, I don't play. What do you play?
Well, listen, I grew up the road from Newton. My mum's a Galway woman. It was all hurling from them. My sisters all played Camogie with Donegal, so there's plenty of pucking about, hey. And mind you, them sisters were probably tougher than some of the boys that I met then when I'm down to Burt. But good times, hey. Listen, I have a great love for the game. How could you not, Paul? Particularly the way football's gone this last while, and the speed and the brilliance of hurling's exciting stuff. Paul, you're just helping out. You take a wee bit of a back step from many a successful year at Setanta with the seniors.
You know yourself, Brenton, there, the age and the wives and the way and sort of came into play there. And I was managing Setanta there, I think it was over 10 years there. We won a few championships and won Ulster, and we just started the reserve team of the club this year. And Martin Callan asked me to give him a hand with it. So, and we're hoping to give the reserve championship a bit of a rattle this year as well. So
two teams, it takes a lot of doing. The Unions, two teams out this year also?
Yes, aye. Well, the Unions are two teams out this past couple of years, and McCool's now, unfortunately, McCool's had to pull out with the reserve team there just at the weekend now, but McCool's are two teams on there last year as well, you know, and it's great to see, you know, clubs being fit to put out two teams. Well, I was down training there on Friday night, and we had, I think it was 43 playing the game there after, you know, after training, you know, so we were getting good numbers out, and keeps the young fellas interested in it, because sort of from the minors to the seniors, there's a bit of a gap, whereas if you have a reserve team, you can pull them minors in through, you know, to give them a year to prepare for the seniors.
Yeah, and McCool's in the round so many county finals this last few years, and it's a five-team championship, so a team has a weekend off, and it was your club this week, Setanta?
Well, we get the weekend off here this weekend. I look here, I know that McCool's played Unions there yesterday, and Unions, I think it was 1-12 to 1-8.
That's right.
I sort of expected that, you know, Unions, we've played Unions in the past couple of finals there, and you know, we just scraped over the line against them last year. Unions are a real good side, a very fit, physical team. They won't be far away this year again, as long as the football interferes with the hurling odd time. Where it depends how the club goes with the football. And, you know, they can... Dual players are always under pressure. No matter what club they're with, dual players are under pressure. And that's the forefront with St. Unions especially. But, look, Unions probably get the final this year again. It's between them and Cairn, I think, you know, or Belcrana, sorry, to get the final there this year.
And tell me, Paul, that understanding of a management, you know, we see a lot of managers come in now and they're very much right. Definitely, you're not allowed to play soccer outside the window. But with GAA, you know, obviously hurling and football, there should be that tolerance from the club to play. But a lot of managers are really saying, you know, you're playing with me, I need you here. And, you know, things are getting very serious in sport. It's very difficult in the dual player now, which is a pity.
It is a pity, but look here, there's clubs can do it, and if the clubs are interested in promoting the two sports, they can do it. If you take the likes of, you know, you've got the road to Slattenhill or Dungiven or Banner, you know, which compete and hurling and football finals. Unions are a perfect example of it. They're why every club in the county can't do it. Like, I know Unions have got the population, but they're interested in promoting it, both games, and they promote them very well. And look, sometimes whenever it gets down to the nitty gritty of championship, yes, your dual players will be under a bit of pressure, but that's for maybe a month, 6 weeks in the year. And like, that's what players want. You want to be, you know, and you know, a dual player playing in both championship finals. Like, I commend myself, like, we back whenever Red Hughes had a good team, like, when we were contesting, you know, championship finals and semi finals, back in 1990, we got into the two county finals, county senior finals, and football and hurling. And I think we had something like 11 or 12 dual players, and the first 15 both ways. Like, And I know that the football and hurling's come on, and the times and all have come on, but if the clubs are interested in doing it, they'll do it. Like,
yeah, and listen, one club of sports has really pulled out the dual stamps would have been Burt, you know, and they obviously dominated yes. club hurling and Donegal and have done for so long. But you really get the sense at the minute, well, that, you know, a lot of their kind of stalwart players really hung in there and hung on up in that last championship victory. And since then, you know, they haven't won a championship game right up at Buncrana, obviously beating them yesterday. And certainly Burt are going to have to go back to the underage and start bringing through a new team, because that brilliant team that they had that dominated, like, those guys have all retired now, and there's a lot of work to be done for them to get back up to the top.
It is now, but look here, Bort is Bort, look, hi, and come here, don't you be surprised if Bort don't get to a county final this year. Like, you know, we beat them a couple of years ago in the final, and we said, that's them finished. In 2007, 2008, we beat them in the county final, who goes, that's them finished. And they're still thereabouts. They have got the DNAs in Burt to win championship hurling. You know, and no matter, you think that's them finished, you know, and they're always back at you, and they're always back, and they'll nip and they'll talk, and they'll bring in one or two young fellas, and you won't have heard tell them underage, and they come on their star. Like, that young, I know Keelan's been about the county team there and the club team this couple of years now, but young Keelan McDermott, serious hurler, I think he scored 7 or 8 points there from day there yesterday. And, you know, Bert will get another one or two of them come through in the next couple of years, and they'll be pushing for titles again.
Yeah.
You know, it's in their DNA, and, you know, that's what they're about. Like.
Yeah, you've men's kids coming through, and as you said, it's in the DNA, and it's in the genes, and it'll not be long before they're back on top again, as you said.
But now, I do expect Buncrana to win a championship in between times.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, listen, you're thinking this year, I suppose, are you thinking St. Anta, Buncrana Unions, is there a favourite in there taking the St. Anta hat off?
Look, St. Unions deserve one. I think Buncrana's going to get one before them.
Right.
You know, that's what I honestly think. Like, you take a look at that Buncrana team, like, they're the most, you know, well-built physical team in Donegal, you know, with no exceptions. Like, you know, you've got Jack O'Loughlin, he's probably the best athlete in the county team this year, and he's probably the second or third best hurler. You know, you've got wee Sam Rowe, PJ McCarron, you know, Paul Touris, all them, all big massive men, 6'1" and 2" men, and real good skillful hurlers. And if they just get a wee game plan together and give it a real push this year, there's no reason why they couldn't win a championship. Like, I said it to Tom Clare last year in the semi-final, and Tom was saying we're probably here a year or two too early. And I said, Tom, take your time, build on it this year from this semi-final defeat. And I said, you'll get the final next year, and there's no reason why you can't win it if you push on. And there's no reason why they shouldn't be doing it, because they have the physicality and they've got the stick men to do it. Like, the wee game plan and getting it under their head, they're capable of doing it.
The stick men is right, good man. Paul, tell me, new teams in this year, you're on progressing the championship. Isn't it brilliant to see teams like fielding sides in hurling and, you know, making sure that is part of the GAA clubs in Donegal?
Well, look here, whenever you see Dunlogie Door putting out, you know, playing the first senior game there over the weekend there and beating Unions, you know, it's brilliant to see the likes of Dunlogie Door. You imagine Dunlogie Door, the likes of, you know, the two McGee's and some of them great athletes up and around that part of the country that played hurling from under 12. Imagine what sort of hurlers they'd be today. Like,
yeah.
You know, and, you know, fair play to the likes of Cormac Hartnett and them boys, like, to push it on, bring an underage team up and push them on to seniors. And there's no reason why, you know, Dunlogie Door can't be competing in a senior championship maybe 2 years' time, 3 years' time.
Yeah,
and four masters are back at the fore again. It's great to see Donegal Town back. Like, Donegal Town used to have a very good, strong hurling team, you know, when they fell away by the wayside there for a few years, but they're back at it again, and it's great to see it. Like, we've got 9-10 hurling clubs in the, you know, senior, whenever you count junior, senior hurling clubs in the county there now. Letterkenny Gales, great work again, you know, on the raids and pushing through and pushing up into, you know, a junior team. It's you know, the hurling's going the right way, and Donegal there now at the minute there, just with different clubs, you know, pulling together, putting in the work on the raids and pushing on to senior, like. And it's great to see it. Like.
Great stuff. Well, I could just imagine Kevin Casty, all right, bursting,
you know,
out from the half-back.
I know, you know, some of the athletes, I was down the country there a couple of years ago, we were down Tipperary, we were down Cashel, and there was a great old hurler, a fellow, Carmack Bonnery, who's asked me, he says, how come Donegal can't push on at the hurling? He says, that, you know, they're brilliant at the football, how come they can't push on? And I explained to him that all the best athletes in Donegal don't play hurling, but they all play football. And that's the difference.
Yeah. Is that the boners that were related to?
Yes.
We used to have support tip because of that connection back in the day.
They were born over in Killy. Their mother was born over in Killygarden there, you know, and we'd have a great connection with them through the club there, you know, so they come up there, dinner dances there, nod year and one thing or another, but serious man.
Aye, fascinating stuff. And tell me, next week, Paul, in the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Senior Hurling Championship, we have Buncrana St. Eunan's on Friday evening at 7:30.
That's going to go to the wire. That'll go to the wire. I do expect Buncrana to beat them by 1 or 2 points.
Yes.
That's a big statement now, but just... earlier on in the year, look here, Buncrana will get the big push. They'll make sure they'll get the semi-final. Jack Lachlan factor is going to be a serious factor. Who's going to mark him? I think Buncrana just have a few extra good hurlers and good athletes. You know, Sam Rowe, who's going to mark him? Look, I expect Buncrana to be 1 or 2 points there. No, but it'll be a serious game of hurling.
And Paul, you just touching on Buncrana, you know, you talk about obviously face deep in soccer, you know, and there's everybody with teams all over the town and all around it.
Yes.
And then obviously the football team come up, but so you'd have to say amazing work there for them to be done at that level. That requires some amount of input from coaches and people getting involved and interest to push a club on to that level again.
Well, you'd Seamus Grant, a Burtman, moved up on Buncrana. Now he's a big Buncrana man. Like, and I know that Seamus took that team sort of where that senior team is there now. Seamus Grant took them lads from under 12s, 14, 16 minors, and Seamus had them up in Derry every weekend competing with the Derry hurlers. You know, when they're competing with Slathneagh, like they won a couple of tournaments, you know, carnival tournaments, you know, when they're beating the Slathneaghs and Dungivens, and like whenever that team came through, you know, that PJ McCarron's age team, Paul Turi's age team came through, they won all in front of them. They won I think they won a Division 4 Fela on the 14s. They walked on the 16 championship, minor championship, and look, they're all men now. They're all 23, 24 now, and that's why they are where they're at, you know, because of the work of Seamus Grant and Tom Clare and boys they got about Buncrana, and they've put a real interest from underage, and that's what needs to be done with all clubs. You have to get the underage interested in playing, won a few wee tournaments, and that keeps you interested. You know yourself there, yeah. Brendan, from your underage, if you won a tournament, you know, winners will always win. You know,
yeah, it's good to install and funny. And Seamus' dad called me, used to take me down. Isn't that an interesting one? And surely that whole family steeped in hurling, and the fact that people are getting the same as yourself, Paul, that stay in the game, and
Yes. You
know, that is the vital side of it. You need people of experience and know how, and that's where I see the hurling clubs now. Everyone is starting to step up and say, for years, obviously, Bert dominated, but no fault to them then. Obviously, there's a lot of teams could maybe get up to the pitch of it consistently, but now there seems to be a lot of work going out between all the clubs. You know, Setanta play Bert next week also, and you just get this feeling now that hurling, as you say, with the new teams being put into the different levels of championship, that it's everything's progressing in the right way. There's a bit of, I suppose, a bit of will coming behind the county, getting back into hurling. That interest is starting to come through.
It is now. The interest is starting to come through there, and I seen it there with I gave Mickey McCann a hand there with the county team there a couple of years ago. Like, and you know, I seen it. We were down in Convoy and we were training along. You know, we were training on one pitch. Donegal senior hurlers were training one pitch, and the Poplar were training another pitch. We're treated the exact same. We get the same playing gear, same expenses, same everything, you know, and that's a big plus for Donegal. And the past, like when I had been playing with the county, you know, you went out, you get on a bus, if you're lucky to get a bus, maybe to travel down to Cavan or Armagh to play a game, like, you might get something to eat on the way back, you might not. You know, that's the way hurling was treated. Whereas now, it's got very professional now, and the county's bought and board with it. Now, Sean Dunyan brought that on board there maybe 5-6 years ago. Sean was a great promoter of hurling. And, you know, the hurlers are treated the exact same as the footballers now. And that'll bring the hurling where 10, 15 years ago it was seen as the second game. It'll bring it up level with the football. We'll never get to be, you know, as competitive at senior hurling as the footballers are. Not for a long time. But the professionalism is there, and whenever you see a bit of professionalism there, a young fellow will go and he'll go, well, look here, I'm treated the same as everybody else, and yeah. I'm going to stick with this one instead of going to the football, and maybe vice versa. And, you know, whereas before, if you're a young fellow playing hurling, and, you know, you're waiting on the bus, maybe, and the bus not even turning up to take you to county trials or to, you know, underage games, whereas that's all gone now. The whole professionalism of hurling's all stepped up along with the football, which is it's only a plus for hurling.
Hey, listen, Paul, that's fantastic stuff. Great words. And listen, we're looking forward to this hurling championship, and wish you all the best in the future. Thanks for joining us on the DL Debate. Check this. Right, folks, that's a wrap. Episode 21. Thank you so much to Ryan Ferry, Mo O'Donnell, and Paul Campbell there for joining us this evening. I want to thank Kenneth for producing, of course, our sponsors, Sister Sarah's and the Dry Edge Complex. And we'll be back again next week with more GA coverage around the county.
The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love. Book now to enjoy the Sarah's experience.